In the new film, Beginners, Ewan McGregor plays the part of Oliver, a 30-something graphic artist whose relationship with his 75-year-old father, Hal, played by Christopher Plummer, is changed by a revelation.
My parents got married in 1955. They had a child, and they stayed married for 44 years until my mother died. 6 months later, my father told me he was gay.
I'm gay.
Beginners shows Hal sharing with Oliver his joy as he explores life as a gay man. But their newfound closeness is cut short when Hal dies of cancer a few years later. A grieving Oliver learns to form new ties, first with his father's dog, and then in an on-again, off-again relationship with an actress. The film was written and directed by Mike Mills, who was in Boston recently for a screening and spoke with Here and Now's Emiko Tamagawa. As he told her, though the central premise of Beginners might sound unbelievable, it is based on a true story.
My dad did come out of the closet when he was 75 after being married to my mom for 44 years. He had 5 years that are very wonderful gay years, and then he passed away. And when he was sick, we had these amazing conversations about love and relationships and their relationship. And after he passed away, I was just so curious about him and their life and where I came from and who I was. That was the beginning. But it really, as soon as you start writing all that down, like into script format, and then all the abstracting and distilling that that requires, and then finding locations and getting these actors with their own bodies and souls and psyches, it really is a strange combination of some facts and a lot of fiction.
One of the things you did sort of purloin from life are a lot of things, like the fact that your mother knew that your father was gay, but she thought when they got married that she could fix him.
Mm-hmm. That's the story that my dad told me. Yeah, and that was kind of the, in a way, one of the cruxes of this whole thing for me was that when my parents got married in 1955, my mother knew that my dad was gay, and she said, we'll fix that, or we'll make that work. But I really wanted it in the story that my mom knew and that she made that choice. She wasn't sort of a fainting female or wasn't just hoodwinked by my dad.
Of course, playing your father, you have someone who has so much history and has so much weight just when he appears on the screen, and that's Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of a dream was that to get him in your film?
Yeah, that was. I mean, a director of my stature, you don't even really want to have that dream because you're so afraid you're going to get rejected over and over again. And it's really both you and him, it's pretty miraculous that they're in my movie. And then, yeah, it's kind of great because in a weird, funny way, it's easy for Christopher to be like a father figure to the audience because we all know him. We all think we know him. We all have these associations with him. And then he turns them all on your head in this role and then choosing to play this character. And I remember when I cast him, I was like, oh, this might be kind of a little bit like what I experienced when my real dad did come out. It's like the audience won't quite see this coming, or it's a little bit of a flip, you know.
There is something, though, about this film, and I guess bittersweet is the only way to really describe it, because, you know, Hal has all these wonderful exploratory experiences. He goes to a gay bar for the first time. You know, he meets a younger man, and they have this relationship. But it's all within such a short time span because he develops cancer. I mean, it's got this feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. Or also even as he's meeting the man and all that, it's not easy being a 75-year-old gay guy trying to, you know, have crushes on younger guys. That's against the grain, you know. And just also learning about the gay scene, like going to a gay bar for the first time, there was something tremendously bittersweet about that. But I feel like life is pretty bittersweet.
Oliver?
Yeah?
I'm not sorry I woke you.
I went to Akbar tonight.
You did?
Yeah, no, they had some wonderfully loud
music. What kind of music's that?
Probably house music.
Yeah. House music. Okay.
Well, and then Ewan McGregor, I was reading he was someone else that you really wanted in this film, but also that when he was preparing for the film, he actually had you record some of the dialogue that his character was supposed to play. I mean, did you feel at all sort of self-conscious about that?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, just so, because, you know, Ewan has a Scottish accent, and so his dialect coach, whenever he does any accent, that's how they work. They will record someone saying it just so you kind of organically can get it. But yeah, my first role with him was like, and both of them was like, do not feel burdened by me or my dad. Do not feel like you have to copy us. That's the last thing I want. That like gives me vertigo even saying it right now. And so, but Ewan asked me to do the whole script and I would do it and I would say a line and then I would say, but Ewan, you're not going to do it like that, right? And we had this little running joke going in the tape that I made.
Obviously, it's not all autobiographical. In fact, you talked about that at the screening that, you know, a lot of what Oliver goes through is based on a number of things that you sort of seen people go through, this, you know, finding relationships. I mean, what were you trying to say there?
Well, I know about Oliver's emotional problems firsthand, but also I was, I have so many friends, women and men, that I've been in relationships with and just been friends with that have a real hard time really believing in love, or really thinking that this is something that's really going to happen in their lives. And these aren't dysfunctional people. These aren't crazy neurotic people. They're very ordinary. And for many different reasons, the idea that love will endure and that it's real is hard to really grab onto. And so I was trying to make sort of a portrait of that. And that conversation was something we had a lot between me and my dad, like him trying to understand me and my friends' love lives and world, and especially mine. And then me questioning his about his marriage, his choices, and how his relationships were going now that he was out.
Well, maybe you should take out a personal ad, you know, where you can explain your situation.
My situation?
Yeah. I mean, you want to be in a relationship, and you can't stay in one.
That's your fatherly advice, personal ads.
Well, a lot of people use them. I did.
What?
Going to a completely different topic, yes. But I have to mention it because, let's face it, everyone who sees this film will go, oh my gosh, that is the cutest dog ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have this dog that is a scene stealer, but your father actually did have a Jack Russell.
Yeah. My dad had a long-legged, long-haired Jack Russell Terrier. And Jack Russells are an incredibly specific personality. And after studying them, I learned that there was this man named John Russell who in the 1800s sort of invented that breed and with specific goals for fox hunting. And that's why they're 14 inches tall, so they can go into foxholes. And I was like, the more I studied that, the more I was like, God, this is like my film. We all sort of have a John Russell in our past. There are many John Russells. And in the film, Oliver tells the dog his history. Like, this is how you got here. And this is the story that you don't even know is in your DNA, the story that shapes your behavior. And I think everybody in this film is trying to, like, break away from the story that they don't know that they're telling themselves that's controlling their behavior all the time.
Do you ever wonder what your father would have thought of this film?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, like, making it. And my dad was a very complicated, bossy art historian, so I'm sure he would have a long list. And his perspective would be so different, right? He would want to have it be much more about the gay side of the story and his life there. But the only way I could make it is by feeling that, while I'm sure it's my version, that's not his version, that I made it with love and curiosity, and I feel like that he would get that.